So Syria has given the UN permission to use two more border crossings from Turkey to allow much-needed aid to be delivered to rebel-held areas. Humanitarian supplies have been slowly getting into the quake-affected northwest. The UN says that more than 50 truckloads of aid have been delivered through what has been the sole crossing it was allowed to use. It's now been 8 days since the earthquakes hit Syria and Turkey, killing more than 37,000 people. We have a team of correspondents covering the disaster across Turkey and inside Syria. But first, let's cross to Zeyna Hodda, who's on the Turkey-Syrian border. Zeyna, so news that more UN aid is going to be allowed into opposition-controlled areas.
Yes, the decision to use more border crossings means more lifelines for the people inside northwest Syria. Syrians desperate for much-needed assistance. The northwest, as well as other cities in government-controlled areas, were badly hit during last week's earthquake. Now, many are seeing this as a surprise, really, because during the course of the war, the Syrian government, with the backing of Russia, has prevented the United Nations and the international community from using border crossings. In fact, they've closed four of them in recent years and only left one open, Bab al-Hawa. Now the United Nations will be able to use two more crossings, among them Bab al-Salami behind me. So the United Nations is welcoming this move. There were high-level talks in Damascus yesterday. Some believe that, backdoor deals were made. At the end of the day, the international community is pouring a lot of money and relief aid into Syria. And the U.S. Treasury a few days ago lifted some sanctions on bank transfers into Syria for relief aid. But more than that, many believe this cooperation coming from the Syrian president is part of a campaign to really exploit, if you like, the situation in order for him to regain political legitimacy so the world engages with him. And this is what's concerning the Syrian opposition. They're saying that, waiting for Assad to agree to open border crossings was wrong on the part of the international community. They should have just used these border crossings without his approval and without the approval of the United Nations, especially since, people are desperate in need of assistance.
So, Zeyna, tell us a little bit more about the broader relief effort in Syria.
Well, it has been inadequate, especially in the northwest of the country, something the United Nations acknowledged, the UN aid relief chief himself saying, "We failed Syria. We failed the Syrian people." Since that earthquake, plane loads of aid have been landing in government-controlled airports, Damascus, Aleppo. The United Nations operates in government-controlled areas, and they were delivering much-needed food supplies, shelter for those affected by the quake. But in the northwest, just a few trucks entered the country. In fact, according to the White Helmets, this is the Syrian civil defense volunteers, they called off the search and rescue operation days ago because they said countless of lives have been lost because they didn't have the heavy machinery needed in order to rescue people underneath the rubble. So there's a lot of anger in northwest Syria. They feel that the world has abandoned them. The international community did not provide them any support. And now they're very concerned that the international community is dealing with a man they do not consider legitimate, the president of Syria, who has been doing his best for the international community to accept his reign in the country.
All right, Zeyna, thanks for that. Zeyna Hodda, reporting there from the Turkey-Syrian border. Thank you. Well, 8 days after the two earthquakes, survivors are still being pulled from the rubble. A short while ago, three people, including two brothers, were rescued for Karaman Maras. Let's go to the capital, Ankara, now, from where Sinem Kosioglu joins us. Sinem, so still extraordinary tales of survival and rescue more than 8 days on.
Exactly. It's like a record for the rescue workers who are in the field trying to rescue people. And they say it's a miracle. It's the nearly 200 hours, the ninth day, and the rescue workers haven't given up on the people yet. So we had two young brothers, having been pulled out from under the rubbles, and we just heard that a third person has been rescued this morning. Last night, again, we heard some middle-aged people, even old people having been rescued from under the rubbles. That's why everybody believes this is like a miracle. Currently, there are more than 250,000 workers on the ground trying to rescue the people. But, you know, the damage is very big, Nick. We have thousands of buildings that have collapsed, and so many people are under the rubbles. They are able to rescue the people who are on the top floors, especially in the high-story buildings. But the rescue workers, the miners, the fire executors who are in the field, the health workers, they are working so hard to save their people, to save their neighbors, even the people that they don't know. That's why we are hearing extraordinary stories. And, of course, this is a hope, despite the loss Turkey has been through. According to official figures right now, the number of the people who lost their lives is more than 31,600. And more than 158,000 people have been evacuated from this area. But the work is still underway. And the officials have been saying that after a week, the search and rescue operations are going to be completed. And by the end of February, or let me say by the beginning of March, new constructions to replace the collapsed building is going to begin. This is the situation in the field and the feedback from the Turkish capital, Ankara.
All right, Sinem, thanks very much. Sinem Kosioglu there. Well, Hatay province is one of the hardest hit parts of Turkey. Natasha Ghanem is in the city of Antakya with more on the recovery operations there.
Antakya is now a city of earthquake ruins. This street gives you an indication as to why. It has been decimated. One man tells us, "We are psychologically broken. There are no services. People have been told to evacuate, yet some remain." That's because they are holding a soul-shattering, week-long vigil, waiting for their loved ones to be pulled out of the rubble, holding on to the hope, however infinitesimal, that they will be granted a miracle rescue.
Our loved ones need us to be strong. My beloved nephew and his wife are under the rubble. Do you know the tiny line between hope and despair? I'm going through this for the last few days between miracle and reality.
The people who remain are also living in the rubble. They say they've been given food, they've been given clothing, but they still don't have shelter. They complain that the search and rescue operation was slow to begin here in Antakya. They say it took about 3 or 4 days after the earthquake hit to begin in earnest. Since the earthquakes hit more than a week ago, there has been a national reckoning over the well-known use of shoddy construction material and the lax enforcement of building codes in compliance with earthquake engineering standards. Warnings were issued, amnesties given. Now people are angry.
It's wrong to blame the government. Although they've made mistakes, I think all the responsibility is on the contractors.
The Ministry of Justice has issued 134 arrest warrants, arrested three people, and police are searching for more than 100 suspects in connection with building code violations. As for the people here in Antakya, they say they know this diverse city with ancient roots will rebuild. But given the historic proportions of this devastation, they know it will take a very long time. Natasha Ghanem, Al Jazeera, Antakya, Turkey.